like, yeah, right, I have to do that before I leave it. It seems impossible.
Really?
Is it something appropriate you can share?
Yeah.
Have you?
Have
you ever, someone ever told you something that seems impossible unless you can actually see it to believe it?
Yes.
Somebody scored 100 points in a game.
Oh, 100 points in a game. Wow. Okay, that's good. Well, what if I said, these two paper clips, I'm going to put together without using my hands and touch them. Would you believe that?
No.
You wouldn't believe it?
I would have to see it to believe
You would have to see it to believe it, wouldn't you? Okay, so that is seeing is believing, right? So I have this dollar.
Magic dollar.
A dollar that I am going to put into three equal parts. So kind of like fold it like a Z here. And I want you to watch. I'm going to fold it like this. I'm going to put the first paper clip on the first and the middle one like this.
You're not going to use your hands.
I'm not going to use my hands when I put them together. I'm just putting them right here. Then I'm going to put the paper clip on the middle one and the last one of the dollar. Okay. So there's two paper clips, right? And so then I'm going to slowly pull this. And what happened?
They both came on.
I didn't have it. So you wouldn't believe it until you actually saw it, right? Like, do you believe that I can do that without touching the paper clips with my hands?
Not really, because you were putting them on.
Well, it was with the dollar. I wasn't touching them with my hands, though. So it kind of reminds me of a story of, have you ever heard of Doubting Thomas? So after Jesus died, a week after, all the disciples gathered together, and they were kind of scared because they were worried that what happened to Jesus was going to be happening to them, that they might be crucified. Well, all of a sudden, all the disciples but Thomas were there. He was not there. Jesus came to them, and they couldn't believe what they saw. They were like, oh my gosh. And they said, look. He said, look, these are my hands. So they touched his hands, and they touched his wounds, and they believed it because he was there. Well, then about a week later, everybody was there, and Thomas was there, and Jesus came to them again. And Thomas, he could not believe his eyes, so he went down on his knees, and he said, my Lord, I am sorry for not believing you. And he touched it. He's like, Thomas, look, feel my hand. See where the nails were? And he could actually, he believed it. I mean, because he could feel it and see it. Right? Part of believing and seeing, sometimes it's hard to believe and see. Sometimes, because you've seen me, he said, blessed are those who have not seen me. So, you and I have never seen Jesus with our own eyes, right?
Well, a little bit.
So you've seen a little bit?
From that picture.
Well, picture, or there's images. But the question is, will we be a doubter, or will we be one of those who Jesus said we're blessed because we believe, even though we don't see him? So even though we don't see him, if we believe, we can be blessed by Jesus. Okay? So let's bow our heads and pray and say, dear God, help us to believe in our hearts the truths you find in your holy word, even though we have not seen them with our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, Carrie did part of my sermon, so I'll just pray and we'll go home.
Sorry.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Oh, dear. Sometimes when we study here together, we're walking down a path that has specific markers that lead us to a specific place. Other times, we're walking down this path and we're gathering bits of information, and then we're going to put all of that together at the end and see what the picture is. And today is one of those days. Last week was all of Christendom, they call that Christendom, Christ believers, was the celebration of the resurrection. As you can see, this is not Easter. And I think all too often, we end the story of Jesus kind of right there. Oh, he rose from the dead, and we just kind of move on. And yet, there's very little discussion about the time between him rising from the dead and him ascending to heaven. And it's about 40 days that he stays here and doesn't go back to heaven. He had specific purposes and plans that needed to be accomplished, or else he wouldn't have stayed. So what were they? What was happening during this month? Jesus chose to appear to a number of his followers during this time. Why? And what did he say to them? Each of the Gospels gives us a little different piece of the picture. We're going to start in John, because John records a lot more personal conversations than the other books do, the other Gospels. So if you have your Bible and you want to see where I'm coming from, it's going to be John 20. And over the next week or so, we're going to hang out in here in the Gospels, and we're going to talk about what happened between resurrection and ascension. We're going to walk in the sand with Jesus and his disciples. Let's not miss anything, because what did he say and what did he do? And what value does it have to us? When NASA gets ready, when they were getting ready to send spacecraft into orbit or to the moon, the last bits are not to be rushed. The final checklists are just as important as all of the other work that's been done to this point to be ready. There's a countdown. And with that countdown, if you've ever watched one of those, all the banks of computer screens and all the people watching those screens, every countdown, everybody there is going through their checklists one more time as they get ready for the big event. There's something about these 40 days that can feel a bit like a countdown. A countdown to the launch of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. 10, 9, 8, the ground is rumbling. He's risen. And before the kingdom is launched here, we have this little window of time. The first thing in John 20, after we talked about Mary Magdalene, is Jesus appearing to his disciples. We're in John 20, we're at verse 19. That Sunday evening, that's when he arose, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Jesus comes to see them, and he addresses them in their humanness. Sometimes it's all too easy to think, here's the standard, and I'm not meeting it. Oh, ye of little faith. Maybe somehow he got the impression that God was a bit of a nag. Come on. Chop, chop. Someone who was pushing you from behind all the time. Exasperated with you, disappointed. What do you mean you don't believe? The very first words that Jesus speaks to his disciples as they're gathered together there without Thomas, the very first words he says are, "Peace be with you." Peace, wholeness, calmness, peace. When his second sentence repeats those same words, "Peace be with you." He goes right to the heart, right to the emotions that they have in that moment. They're fearful, and actually they have a right to be. The Jewish Sanhedrin, the people who put Jesus on trial, had a lot of power. Could very easily have rounded up the rest of Jesus' followers, marched them out and said, "Here's some more of them." And they could have all been done right there. They were very human. They weren't being fearful unnecessarily, in a sense. They did have a human reason to be afraid. And I think one of the first things that I grabbed when I went through this is the lesson that Jesus understands our humanness. Psalm says he knows how frail, how human we really are. And he's going to lead us to where he wants to be, but he knows where you are right now, and he meets you right there. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Then we move on to Thomas. 8 days later, Jesus' second appearance, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. So it's been 8 days. They've tried to convince Thomas in these 8 days that they've seen the Lord. We saw the Lord. Thomas is not convinced. Thomas says, I need to see him with my own eyes, put my hands into those nail scars, and touch that wound in his side, and then I'll believe. All their talking for 8 days has not convinced Thomas. They're gathered together, and again, they are behind a locked door. Suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. There's something about Jesus' resurrection body which is a little different, isn't it? Apparently, it can go through walls. Because suddenly, Jesus is right there. And he starts with the same words. They're still fearful. It's been 8 days. They know that he's risen. Now Thomas knows because he sees him standing there. And the first words out of his mouth aren't, why are you still behind the locked doors? How come you're not out there telling people about me? There's no nagging. There's no demeaning. There's no belittling. There's no chastising. He just says, peace be with you. And then he speaks specifically to Thomas, of course. Poor Thomas. He kind of gets a raw deal. But I think he was just very human, wasn't he? Jesus goes right to Thomas's fears and he says, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Believe. And I know Jesus' tone of voice was one that pulled Thomas to him, that invited him into this journey, because Thomas goes on to die a very terrible death as a martyr and serves Jesus the rest of his life. And we don't serve people very well that belittle us, do we? That's not what Jesus does. Jesus says, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. I think it's interesting that Jesus chose to keep in his resurrection body for all eternity the wounds that he received here. He says that when we rise from the dead, we're given new bodies that will be like Jesus's. But Jesus chose to keep those marks that he had. Thomas recognizes those wounds immediately and professes his faith. It doesn't say Thomas reached out and touched him. It just says Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus offers that blessing that Carrie mentioned for us here today. Because Jesus says to him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. And that's you and that's me. Jesus prayed for us, remember, before when he's talking with the disciples, and he did that prayer before his arrest. And he says, my prayer is not just for these, but for all those who will believe after them. Jesus was praying for us before he died, and he's remembering us again after he died. Do you ever feel crazy for placing your faith in someone that you've never seen? Because sometimes, do the winds of doubt blow just a little bit? You start to think, what if I'm wrong? Jesus knew that there would be times when those winds would rattle our windows, and he tells us, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. At this point, John adds a few sentences that I think if he had a laptop, he might have put in italics, or maybe in parentheses. Because verse 30 says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. In other words, I wish I had time to tell you every single thing he ever did and said. Well, who has the time to do that? That'd be a big book, wouldn't it? Because he ends John by saying the same words. Verse 25 at the end of John, the very last verse. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. But they're giving us the information, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, giving us the information that we need, that's enough information for us to believe and put our faith in. You ever wondered how the writers of the Bible, all the different authors, knew exactly what to say and how they kept their story straight and kept things in order. Because I don't know about you, but have you ever come back from an exciting vacation and started to tell somebody how it went? And then on Tuesday, we got up and we went and saw, oh, no, wait a minute. First thing we did was, no, it was that Wednesday. Let me see. Did you do that? We're human. Trying to keep everything in exact order and then write it all down takes some effort. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. And that word inspired is theopneustos, which means literally God and breath. God breathed. All the words that they wrote, God breathed onto them, into them, and it came out their quill, out their pen. All scripture. Then John records Jesus appearing for the third time to his disciples. And this time they're by the Sea of Galilee. They've gone back to familiar ground. Remember, this is where Jesus called Peter and Andrew, the brothers, and then James and John, the brothers. He's walking along and he sees them fishing. Remember that? And here they are 3 years later. And maybe they're back at the same beach in the same boat. They had a fishing business. Maybe they're back at the exact same place. I don't know. What do we do today? Let's go fishing. Everybody in the boat. And off we go. And they fish all night. And they don't catch anything. And it's dawn. And they're coming back towards shore. And some guy on the shore shouts out those same directions they heard 3 years ago. Friends, have you caught any fish? Jesus asked them. No, they say. And here's his very wise advice. Throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Not enough if you're a fisherman, wouldn't you go like, yeah, try that. You know, still empty. But he says the same words. Throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get plenty of fish. And so as 3 years before, they follow his instructions. And as 3 years before, they can't even haul those nets back in the boat. And something about this rings a bell with John. John looks in the shore and he says, oh, it is the Lord. And Peter, brave Peter, he can't wait. Peter had his tunic off and he was trying to get things done. And he throws his tunic back off. Doesn't he wait for the boat to come into shore to get the net in? He dives into the water, gets to the shore to see the Lord. 3 years, same odd event happens again. I wonder how come they didn't immediately connect the dots. If I heard someone on the shore saying the same thing, if I had a night of no fishing, and it was the same odd suggestion, put your net on the other side of the boat. Like the fish can't find the other side of the boat. You know, like, how big is the boat? But we're going to put ourselves in their sandals. Remember that? Jesus has appeared to them twice, but he isn't living with them day to day now. And they're still humans, and they're still trying to process a very traumatic, albeit miraculous, week. They have witnessed events that hadn't been witnessed before or since. Remember that? A resurrection. A completely dead person now walking around, speaking and encouraging you. I can't even imagine what that must be like. They bring the fish into the shore. Jesus has a fire going, and they serve breakfast. And they're sitting around the fire. Breakfast is finished. And Jesus and Peter have a conversation. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. A third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt, verse 17 says, that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And that had been his response every time. Feed my lambs. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, you're going to be a leader. Watch over the ones I give you to lead. Three times, Peter stood by a fire 2 weeks before and said, I don't even know the man. Three times Peter denied Jesus. Aren't you one of them? You're from Galilee, you have the same accent. You were with him, weren't you? I don't know who you're talking about. A little while later, here comes that servant again. He's still by the fire. I'm pretty sure it's you. I blankety blank 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 don't know what you're talking about. Round three. Three times Peter denied Jesus. And then he hears the rooster crow. And I wonder if he could see Jesus. They were in a small area. He was waiting to see what happened to Jesus. Did he see Jesus' face? I don't know. Three times Peter denies him. And they're back here by another fire. And Jesus gives him three times to go the other way and to own him. Do you love me? You know I do. Take care of my sheep. Do you love me? You know I do. Round three, do you love me? Oh, you know I do. And take care of my lambs. And then he goes on a little further with Peter. He said, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. And Peter understood that this was prophetic. Peter understood this had to do with his future. And Peter was church tradition, history has that he was crucified, but asked to be upside down so he wouldn't be just like Jesus. He didn't deserve the same thing, he said. Jesus said this to Peter to let him know what kind of death he was going to have and how he would glorify God. And then Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Oh, deep breath. We're going to launch the kingdom. Come here, Peter. Do you love me? Bad things are ahead, my man. This is not going to go like you hope. But follow me. Follow me. Peter turned around and saw behind him the other disciple that Jesus loved. That's John. And he said, what about him, Lord? Don't you love Peter? Because Peter does exactly what you want to do, but sometimes you're afraid to. That's a little heavy. Whew. What about him? Jesus is like, look me in the eye, Peter. You know, he said, if I wanted to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. That started a little tradition that John was never going to die, but that's not what Jesus said. It started a little rumor. What Jesus says to Peter is, don't you worry about anybody else. Follow me. Here's what I've asked you to do. God has given each one of us something to do. Follow him. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've given your heart to God, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And his voice will guide you if you will just listen and be patient and wait. Sometimes it's easier for me to focus on other people around me. Boy, I bet God wants them to fix that. Don't they hear God calling them to quit that? I do. But God's calling me to listen to him. What is it to you? Jesus says, you follow me. I need to be willing to engage with God, to read his words, to hear what they say. Of course, I can seek counsel from other believers and clarification and feedback. But my job is to follow, to listen, obey. When someone tells me that they have something from the Lord to tell me, I'll have you know I'm always very skeptical. I tend to be a slight bit cynical, because if I'm really listening to the Lord, I should be hearing his voice myself. Right? I don't need you to tell me what God's telling me. I better be listening to what God's telling me. Oh, I know what the Lord wants you to hear. He wants you to hear. Maybe. But if I'm following the Lord, if you're following the Lord, if you're hard after God and you're praying and you're listening, he's going to let you know. People around you will probably confirm it. You know what? You really would be good at that. Our faith in our Lord is rewarded, and it's rewarded in a lot of ways. Peace, well, in circumstances that can rock our boat, as our boat bounces wildly on life's seas. Peace be with you, is what Jesus says. And follow me. Here's what you're going to do to glorify God. You get to find that out. Can you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you know we are human, that you understand we are frail, and that we are weak at times. Lord, thank you that you come right along beside us, that you give us peace and comfort, that you give us purpose, and that you give us love, you give us a calling. Lord, would you help us to be people who are willing to listen and then to follow and obey. And when we do that, Lord, will you give us a peace that just passes all human understanding and guides us. It's in your Son's name we pray today. Amen. Would you be standing? I pray that as you go out this week, you get to have those moments where you hear what the Lord's trying to say to you, and that you will hear him say, "Peace be with you." Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.